Hello there, brave souls. Welcome to Trauma is Expensive with your host, Micah Bravery. Here, we don't just talk about trauma. We count the cost and we make the change. With every episode, we dive deep into the heart of trauma, its implications, and the resilient transformations it can ignite. Through conversations, insights, real stories, and unflinching honesty, this podcast is here to empower every survivor to turn their pain into progress. So let's take a journey together as we understand, confront, and finally heal. Welcome to www.traumaisexpensive.com, your platform for change. Now, let's get started.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Monday, or not so happy Monday, depending on your day. I am Micah Bravery, and this is Trauma is Expensive, where we count the cost and make the change. I'm here with producer Crystal.
Hello.
This is going to be a tough conversation because, so basically, we're going to tell a little bit about Crystal's story. So Crystal has 18 kids, as you know, if you listen to these fucking villains podcasts, right? She has a whole bunch of kids. No, I'm just joking. She has four and a grandbaby. Mm-hmm. But her middle child, I guess, Maddie, would you consider your middle child?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I think so.
So I don't know. But if you ever watch these fucking villains podcasts, and you haven't, you should. But for season 2.5, our first episode, our season premiere was an episode with Maddie, and we called it the bullying episode. She went through a lot of bullying and comes to find out she's still going through bullying. Mm-hmm. Well, a few weeks ago, someone decided to tell her that he was going to put an apple-sized hole through her chest, basically telling her that he was going to shoot her, right? Mm-hmm. So now it's come to the point where Crystal has pulled her daughter from school and is working on now trying to get her an education or be able to finish her education because she has, what, 2 years left?
Yes, in high school? She's in 10th grade. Yeah.
2 years left in high school. So the reason why we thought this was a very important episode was for two reasons. We talk about trauma is expensive. Number one, the trauma of what this young man is costing Crystal and her family by having to take her daughter out of school, look for another school. It's overwhelming. And then yes. The crazy part about it, though, is that she went to... I will let you tell your story. Go on, girl. Take it over.
Okay. So, as you know, Madison was on These Fucking Feelings for the bullying episode. And last year, there was a boy that had took pictures of Madison, sent them around school. And we had... let the principal and psychiatrist, I think, the school psychiatrist.
Therapist.
know about this. And nothing was done. So it was not like we brushed it off, but it was the boy was talking to. There's nothing we could do. And Madison also had said that the boy had touched her thigh, and still nothing was done. Well, the boy consistently makes fake profiles and then messages Madison and her boyfriend, different random things. Well, this year she was doing fine, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the boy had made a fake post, end up saying who he was, then she had went to school and the boy had said he was going to put an apple-sized bullet in her chest. If she kept on talking, because she was trying to figure out, like, why do you keep doing this?
Right.
So of course me as her mom, I went to the school the next day and I had called the sheriffs and, state troopers because I live in a boondock. So they have no real police officers, like, so they had met me there. Also, there is an officer at the school. The same kid had last year made a fake bomb.
That's cool.
And
so he made a fake bomb and, like, didn't even get suspended. Well, they suspended him for a week, right?
I'm thinking he suspended. They couldn't really tell me, but they just said he already, like, basically got in trouble for that. So he can't get Ryu in trouble for that.
And I don't know how he wasn't expelled making a fake bomb. Mm-hmm. So, but now I kind of want to go into, before we finish the story, to talk about this young man.
Right.
Because there's something seriously wrong with him.
Right.
He's making fake bombs. Mm-hmm. He's threatening to basically kill somebody.
Exactly.
To shoot him.
Yep.
He's touching her unwantedly. Mm-hmm. That's assault.
Yep.
You know, and this is just to your daughter. Imagine how many other people he's doing it to.
I did had bring that up. I said there's no way that this can only be Madison going through this.
Right.
And the principal had said, you're right. I don't know if he was saying you're right, that she's not the only one going through it with the boy, or she's not the only one that's going through this basically in love.
Right. But let's think, talk about the boy and his family.
Right.
Like, do you not know, parents? Do you not know what your kids are doing? Do you not care that your son is making fake bombs? Like, I don't know. I feel like last year when that fake bomb was made and he got in trouble for that, that would have been all I needed to now do something.
Right.
You know, like, okay, he even needs to, like, and I'm not talking about like severe punishment or kick his ass on that stuff, even though he might need that. But we don't promote that here, you know. But no, seriously. But you know, therapy, or figure out what's going on with him. Why is it that you're around here threatening to kill people? Like, there's a lot of things that I feel like need to be figured out, and they're not. You know what I'm saying?
Dig deeper. Like, right. There's a reason he's doing this.
And then she gets the cops involved, like she says, or the law enforcement, whatever one is in her area. Because like she says, she lives in the boondocks. And they basically say there's nothing that they can do because he's 15 years old.
Right.
So now if he would have brought a gun to school and shoot her, what would have been the response then?
Exactly. And that was my question to him, and they basically told me that they don't want to put, like, think it that way, because they're there to try to help the kids, not basically say that. Now, I went to talk to the principal. I even talked to the vice principal. Superintendent, sorry. And he basically said the same thing. Well, what can we do to get Maddie back into the school? And I said, you guys aren't making her feel safe.
Right.
Nothing's happening. Now, mind you, I pulled Maddie out. The next day, that boy was still in school. So now my daughter's not getting an education, but that boy is allowed to get his education. It basically gave him what you're doing is okay.
Right.
That's how I talk.
Right. Like the smack on the wrist, so like there's nothing wrong. And number one, this is probably one of the reasons I can't be a parent, because I would have been locked up already. But number two, though, as a parent, I just don't understand how you don't. You know, it's sad, but not all people are meant to be parents. Right. We know that, you know, like not all people are good at being parents. Like, you know, it's just sad to say. So, you know, it's like, I don't know his home situation and his guardianships and that kind of thing. But it's still troublesome to know that even before this situation, your son made a fake bomb and put it in school. Like, that is troubling, you know. And then, I mean, you think about like all the school shootings and all the people getting killed and hurt and shot and blown up right now.
Exactly.
How can you not take this serious? And then to come out and for basically the school system basically told Crystal that, oh, he has a crush on her.
Yep.
Well, I don't want that kind of love.
That's what they asked if he was basically like kind of obsessed with her when we were in the office, and Madison went straight to crying. And to bring it back to last year when he had took the picture, one of the teachers said something, she shouldn't have been wearing the shorts that she was wearing. How about let's talk about not the clothes that she was wearing, which, mind you, they were pajama shorts. They weren't anything provocative. They were just regular shorts.
And I guess to say that let's stop blaming the female. Let's stop blaming women.
How about let's not take that picture and send it around.
Right. Like, let's stop. Even if she was wearing some provocative, which she wasn't, because she's only 16.
Yeah, she's 16 now.
At the time, she was 15. Mm-hmm. But of course, she's not wearing nothing too provocative. She's in school. However, you know, is like, let's not blame the, I hate to call her a victim, but basically it's what it is. She is like being victimized. And it's really, really horrible because not only is she being bullied by this person, she's also being bullied by this school system.
Yeah. The school system, I feel, is the worst school system. I mean, it's crazy on how much they don't care.
Call them out, girl. What school system is it?
It's Hoosick Valley in Scaticoke.
Yeah, Hoosick Valley, because they need to get it together. Because if I had a child there and my child came home and said that somebody threatened to put a bullet through their chest, an apple-sized hole through their chest, oh, something's going to happen. I'm not pulling my child from school. Now, I'm not saying that. I can say this easily without being a parent. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just telling you, I feel like I would have been, you are a lot calmer than I would have been. You know, you know, I just don't like no signs of disrespect anyway. But the fact that they're allowing this to happen, you
When the principal had talked to somebody, a witness that was there, the girl has said that, well, I didn't hear her say Maddie. I heard her say another person, which is Madison's boyfriend.
Right.
And this is what the principal had came and said. Well, he didn't say your daughter. How about he just said it in general?
Right.
Like, who cares if it was Madison, this person, that person? He still said it.
Right. It's a threat.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can continue to go on and on and on about what happened. And I know that this is pissing you off because you see me, I'm over here getting hyped. I'm like, what the fuck? You know? But now let's talk about the trauma that this is causing. Because number one, you have a 16-year-old girl who has to leave the confines of school, basically, which should be a safe place for everybody. You go to school, it should be safe. Now, we know that that's not true. Schools are horrible these days. That's why I feel like kids need cell phones and those kind of things, because schools are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But now you're basically given permission for this person to say what the hell they want to say, to harass her the way you want to harass her. So now Maddie, who is already an emotional person, is now she's starting to feel like it's her. You know, she's starting to feel like it's something she did, something wrong with her, you know, because she's the one that has to leave the school. She's the one that has to be taken out of school. And then it's coming down to, like, they don't even want to help get her educated now. Like, they don't want to assist in educating her. They can't keep her safe, but they also don't want to assist educating her. So now I have to say, hey, is it safe for me to go to school? And if I don't go to school, am I going to get an education that's worth anything?
Right. And that's my biggest fear is, so they told me that she could go to this place called Questar, but they wanted me to bring her basically to a doctor and diagnose her with something so they could pull it, so she could get the schooling.
Like, she's diagnosed with fear. This girl is scared to her life. Like, that's her diagnosis. Like, why does it have to be anything more than that?
Right.
The person is threatening her
to
life.
To kill her.
Yeah. Okay. And not her, but her boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's still fucking traumatizing for you to sit here and say that you gonna kill anybody and we 15.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and that's what they said. Well, he's a 15-year-old boy. You can't arrest, or you can't get an order of protection unless there was arrest, but we can't arrest a 15-year-old. So it, like, keeps going, and none of them just understand what I'm saying or I'm going through.
Right.
Not only can I not help my daughter, I feel like I can't even keep her safe. At the only way I could keep her safe is pulling her out of school. So then here I'm worried about CPS being called for taking her out of school, because, you know, so many days they automatically start knocking on your door.
Right.
So then I just don't know what to do.
I mean, it's really hard to you know, it's like, do I risk sending my daughter back to school? Like, people could say all they want to. Oh, he wasn't serious. Oh, he likes her. Oh, this is his way of showing her that he likes her and all this kind of stuff. Number one, don't show me love that kind of way. Okay. A PSA, don't show people you love them by telling them you're going to kill them. Okay.
Exactly. That's no love.
Number two, now look at all this trauma that is being caused for you, for your daughter.
Yeah.
You know, like, her plan was to graduate high school and to go to college.
Yes.
So these are plans that she had. Like, she wants to do something with her life. She wants to go into a forensic right?
Yes. Forensic psychology, kind of. You know, she plays volleyball. So there goes that, because she played through the school.
Right.
Now she can't do that. This year she was going to play softball. There goes that. And next year she was going to go to, it's like a BOCES where she could start basically doing college courses for what she was going to go to college for.
Right.
And then there goes that.
Right.
So not only are you taking her, you know, what she wants to do when she gets older or like out of school, but they're taking so much away from her.
Of course. And they're taking their high school experience, mm-hmm. taking away proms and pep rallies and dances and just being around my friends and just having a normal childhood and just being able to be 16 years old
right.
and go to school. But now the thing that concerns me the most is that she has to go the rest of her life knowing that this happened to her.
Right.
Knowing, like, who am I going to be able to trust?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
he was her friend at one time.
But it's not even that. Here it is that I reached out to authorities, the yep. authorities that are meant to protect me. Mm-hmm. And they're telling me there's nothing they can do.
Exactly.
I go to the principal and whoever runs the school, and they're saying there is nothing we can do. The whole time he's back there laughing.
Yep.
Because yes. she's not coming to school. So he got what he wanted.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And it's to basically ruin her life.
Yep.
Do you even know if his parents were called?
His mom was called into the office the day the police were there, because he's 15, so the police had she had to be present.
Right.
But I personally don't even know
what was
if
that?
She cared.
Right.
If like she cared. Did she brush it off? No, and I tried to explain to the principal and stuff, I'm not a shitty parent where I don't care if my kids go to school or not.
Right.
I care about their, you know, success and
education.
Their education right. and their life. I don't want them to struggle.
Right, right.
And they just basically it was like it was nothing to them. Like if she was just another person as, all right, see you later. Like, no, let's suspend him and she could still go to school.
Yeah. And nothing I feel like you're over here like breeding a psychopath. You're allowing this child who's still in his mentally growing stage or whatever stage he's in, and he still has a lot to learn. But what is he learning right now? That he can make fake bombs, that he could tell people he's gonna kill them, and that nothing's gonna happen.
And nothing's gonna happen.
Because
he's still gonna get his education.
And I hate to say this, right? But I'm like, I wonder how different it would have been if he was a person of color. No.
I do believe that there is the school favoritisms
right.
on kids that parents had went to that school, parents that are like PTA moms or that are more involved,
right.
you know, and I had told them that. I do believe that. I believe that they favoritism, like the principal was a teacher. So half of these moms, it's a small community. So half of these moms and dads had went to that school.
Right, and were taught by their principal.
Were taught. We moved into there thinking it was a smaller school. It was a country setting. That was going to be best for the kids.
Right.
And it was the worst mistake that I've made.
Right.
Is moving them out.
Well, you know what? One thing you can't do is blame yourself.
Right.
So you cannot allow this to cause you trauma.
Right.
Number one, you have a daughter to look out for. And right now she's going through a lot mentally, emotionally. You know, she feels like the rest of her life is screwed.
Right.
So we need mom to keep it together.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I do try.
Like now, not to say that you can't fall apart.
Right.
It's not to say that you can't have your moment. But one thing you are not allowed to do is take blame for this or any kind of credit for it.
Yeah.
No, you're not to blame for where you move. You're not to blame for wanting to allow your kids to have a better life. You know, all those things that you did are commendable.
Right.
Everything that you did was to allow your kids to be more successful, to have a different life than you. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like that's what most parents want. You know,
right.
they want their life, their kids to grow up differently than what they grew up.
Exactly.
So don't allow this to make you question who you are as an individual and a parent.
Yes.
Because this has nothing to do with you. And if we don't learn nothing else with Trauma is Expensive and with these fucking feelings podcasts, is that when people do things, it has nothing to do with you. It is really about them, their dysfunction, their mental capacity, their non-mental capacity,
right.
you know? So it's like, and then there are just some crazy ass motherfuckers in this world. There's
I just
some
don't crazy. Even know if he realizes what he is causing, or even if he cares.
He has to realize it. And then, I say that really not knowing. I don't know. I can't speak for him. But I can say that you lucky. I don't know who you are. And see, I'm going to say that and watch what I watch tomorrow. There be some cops at my door now.
Yeah, right. But don't worry. It's only a misdemeanor offense.
You know what I'm saying? But no, seriously, I would never do anything to hurt a child. So I'm just talking shit. But however, I mean, think about it, guys. This is like, what the fuck? Be a parent to your kids. I mean, teach them discipline and respect and just morals. Wow.
Yeah.
Such a simple morals. Like, teach your kids how to be good people. Like, our world is going to shit because phones are teaching people. Phones are teaching kids.
You know, and that's where it all started, was simply he picked up the phone. And he basically said it was because he was bored. So he picked up his phone, made a fake account, started messaging Madison and her boyfriend, and that's where it started.
And, you know, and it's probably a reality that maybe he does have a crush on her, but it's like, what is it that you grew up seeing that allows you to think that this is the best way to show affection?
Right.
Because you just didn't get it from yourself.
Right.
You got it from your environment, from what you see, what you're allowed to see, what you're allowed to witness, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it goes back to, now, once again, I'm not a parent and I'll never tell anybody how to be a parent. It's something I'm never going to do. But I do have opinions and I'm entitled to those. Yeah. And I feel like this generation is a YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram generation where everything they learn comes from the internet. Yep. You know, I think about like all those the videos where they're always fighting and stuff, and it's always about, you know, fights and like, what is the... It's like a group that does it all the time.
Are they character? Like the little
character? No. It's like an account. I can't think of what it is. It'll come to me. But basically, all the videos they post is about like fights,
okay,
and violence, and like crazy shit. And it's like, that's the stuff that they like give to the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what they promote. And then it's like, I mean, if you sit there and you read the comments, and it makes you realize, like, this world is,
it's crazy.
Fucked up, you know, and it's and then people wonder why I stay keep my ass inside the house, because I'm healing by myself.
But where, that too, like Madison, you know, she after school she would always go home. She would go in her room. She would play on her phone. She would play video games, and now that's basically what she's doing all day.
Right.
So now, like today when I talked to her to check in on her, I was like, you know, did you do any of your schoolwork, anything like that? And I don't want her just laying in bed all day. So I don't want her to get in that habit of pulling herself down where she has to lay in bed all day and not have any friends.
But it's going to do it to her. I mean, this right now is kind of like I feel like this is like the moment that kind of dictates who you are the rest of your life.
Right.
You know, I feel like when you're in those teenage years, 15, 16, 17, 18, you know, it starts to like set the path for who you're going to be the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been through some horrible bullying in my life. So I'm only speaking for myself, from my experience, but it's like, you know, it to me, that attacks my self-worth. It attacks who I am.
Right.
You know, so now I'm starting to think that I ain't shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because here it is, someone talking about killing me. Damn, you think I'm so much of nothing that you just gonna kill me?
Right. And that can turn other ways around. That can make her kill herself.
Right.
That can make her go crazy and actually go hurt somebody.
Right.
Not that I think she will, but
what if she did? What if she wanted to retaliate? What if she felt like, you know what, I need to get him before he gets me?
Right.
I wonder what the school is gonna say then. What you gonna say then? Who's Zig Valley?
It's crazy. And I don't even think maybe they do, but they're just so worried about a good name or whatever they're worried about, because they really talked. Like, the principal really didn't say much. It was basically that, like, I think she's like an assistant principal.
Right.
And I basically told her, like, he's nothing. Like, he does nothing. Each time I come in here, to remind you, Madison had bullying with other people.
Right.
Which this year was going so good until this incident. Just a couple episodes before, and these fucking feelings, I had told you, Madison was doing great.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it was just like, it's all I know, the end of the year.
People, if you got a crush on people, like, buy them some flowers. You know what I'm saying? Buy her an apple, but don't threaten to put an apple-sized hole in her chest.
Because now she has to look, each time we go to the store, she's going to be worried about that. I mean, I can't speak for her as that, but that's what I'm worried about.
Right. But you can speak more than anybody else because you're her mom and stuff. And I just think, you know, the best thing for you to do is to continue to support her. Mm-hmm. Continue to allow her to know that she's loved, that she's smart, and that there's people out here that have her back.
Right.
You know, there's people out here that care about her.
Yeah.
You know, and don't allow him to be a reflection of what the rest of the world is. So, yeah, she's going to go through some bumps in the road right now, you know, because now is a transition. Now we're going to have to find her new schooling. But in doing that, we're also going to make this shit known that the school doesn't want to do nothing. We're going to reach out to the senator. We're going to reach out to the governor and the mayor and just the people and like, yo, do you know this is going on in your school? Do you know that a person who made a fake bomb last year? So basically, you went through a bomb threat, had kids locked up in classrooms.
I actually think I still have the email that they sent on the school. They have like this parent square thing. Mm-hmm. And they sent an email saying that there was an incident with a bomb threat and stuff like that. I think I still have the...
And the thing is crazy because it's like you're allowing this to happen by not doing anything, by not disciplining, you know, by not suspending or, you know, recommend a therapist, anger management, therapy, counseling. There's like so many things that you can do to help this young man. But now, instead of helping him, you allow him to think that everything he's doing is okay.
Right.
And that people will support what he's doing by getting rid of the problem. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what they did.
Yeah.
Now that Madison is not in school, they got rid of the problem for him.
Yeah.
You know,
but there's going to be a next. There was an incident of a couple, I think it was like 2 years ago. A girl, she kept antagonizing Madison. And I went into the school and she was in a higher grade. And I kept saying, one day she's going to say this or do this to the wrong person and she's going to get her ass whooped. And I said, and I'm going to say, I told you so. Not even 2 weeks later, she gets in a fist fight in the school bathroom and she got her ass whooped.
Right.
And that's what I told them about. I told them about this time. When he comes into the school and he shoots up the school, my daughter's not going to be there. But you have an issue on your hands.
Right.
There is so many kids in that school that I know are getting bullied by him or threatened by him. You know, and they're just not doing anything.
And that's just for real. I mean, it's horrible and it's sad. And our message in this episode is just, I don't know, check in on your kids.
Yeah.
Check in on your kids. You do not know what your children are going through. Maybe you do know, but it's more than just allowing it to be. Like, we need to start having conversations at home about what's right and wrong.
Yep.
What's right and wrong in society, what's right and wrong in this world. Things, you know, it's funny because, like, I know this person, and she allows her kids to curse and stuff like that, but not in school. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to come home and drop F-bomb, cool. But don't do that shit at school.
Yeah.
And it's like, sometimes it takes teaching that, you know, there's necessary moments, I guess. I've lost what I'm trying to say, but I hope you're getting this. Like some things are necessary sometimes.
Right.
But
you teach your children how to be respectful.
Right.
Or teach people that are around them.
A good human being.
Right, exactly.
Because when they're not, other people are the consequence.
Yes.
Madison is his consequence of being an asshole. He's an asshole. Mm-hmm. And now Madison is a consequence.
Yep.
So now we have to spend, and I say we because you're not alone in this journey. You know, we're all behind you and we got your back. But now we need to get together, rally together and figure out what we're going to do.
Right.
But one thing we need to do is protect Madison and make sure that her mental health is strong, that she knows what she's worth, and that she doesn't take this as a sign that there's something wrong with her, or that she's not meant to be here, or that this is going to be the rest of her life.
Right.
You know, we have to make sure she understands that there's greatness out there. And if she works hard enough, she can have it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So our message to you guys, make sure you know what the fuck your kids are doing. Okay. Yep. Like, don't be out here being an absentee parent. Like, life is hard. It is rough. Shit happens. But if you have kids, they are your responsibility. You decided to bring them in the world. Even if it wasn't a choice, they're here. Do the right thing. Parent your kids. Don't let them just be wilding out, you know.
Right. And
just
think of how would you feel? Cool. How would you feel if it was your child?
Right. Now, what if, you know, a family member decided to protect Madison and go and take his life now?
Right.
Now, what if that happened? Yeah. Now they would have been mad at you, but right. The school didn't do nothing about
it. I would have been the bad person.
Now, once again, we're not condoning any of this, but these are all possibilities. And these are all possibilities that could have happened when you don't do anything.
Right.
When you don't do things to protect our young, when you don't teach people right from wrong.
Yes.
I mean, I'm in my 40s. I'm still learning right from wrong, but I'm open to learning. And I think you should be too.
Yes.
So, with that said, we're going to check in, Crystal. We're going to make sure that we let you guys know what's going on. Madison is okay. Yes. She is at home. I mean, she's probably going through a state of depression right now. But, you know, Crystal's a mom, so she's going to get out of it. If nothing else, there's so much love in your household. And I know she feels that. And just continue to love on her. Mm-hmm. Continue to show her worth.
Yes.
And we're going to figure this out. We're going to let you know how it works out. Thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Remember to count the cost and make the change, because this world ain't going to do it by itself.
Yes.
So we have to be the ones that want to be better, to want to have a better life. So until next week, I am Micah. Got my girl Crystal here with me.
Hello.
And we thank you guys for listening. And y'all pray for Crystal. And you know what? We might ask you later for some of your supports. Maybe start some petitions out there. And we hope you guys are willing, because we're going to get a better solution to this than what we got.
Yes.
So until next week. Thank you guys for watching or listening, because you can't see us. Peace, love, and blessings. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Bye.
And that brings us to the end of yet another insightful episode of Trauma is Expensive. I'm signing off on behalf of your host, Micah Bravery, reminding all you brave souls to continue counting the cost and making the change. Don't forget to visit www.traumaisexpensive.com. A dynamic space for understanding, healing, and transformation, where we fuel the journey to turn pain into progress. Until we meet again, stay resilient, stay empowered, and remember the mantra, count the cost and make the change. Thank you for being part of the conversation. We bid you farewell until next time.